Okay, so segueing into where we've been, there's been a lot of kind of loose ends, it feels like, to tie with where Ray kind of took us. A lot of why we asked Ray to come and share is because they're on their next steps towards traveling back overseas. And so there was a timeliness thing there where it was like, if we were just to have a series and it would be like, we're going to have one of our series things is on making disciples, probably be more towards the end, but we didn't have that opportunity because of his timing. And so a lot of what we've been talking about in this idea of spiritual formation, being clay in the potter's hands, kind of the culmination of all of that is to say, not only am I willing for God to have his hands on my life and my heart and my schedule and my checkbook and all of those things to form those things, I want to be involved with him doing that with others. That's what making disciples is. I want to join where God gives me opportunity to see if others want to be transformed and changed more into his image. That's kind of that heart behind what he was sharing. And so what we've been talking about, this calling of Christ, the last one we had listed there was making disciples. If you were to kind of take that whole list of what we've been walking through, repentance and faith and baptism and prayer and fasting, really, making disciples is calling others into walking in those. And to say, Matthew 28, the idea of making disciples is teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And so as we're walking through these commands of Christ, these would be what we would consider the core foundation. If we're going to say we want to follow Jesus, this is pretty much core. Maybe you'd find one or two others that you go, well, he did command us to wash each other's feet, and somehow we need to think about what that means to express that. But this seems like the core of what Jesus called us to live in. And so when we think about making disciples like Ray was talking about, it's really saying, how do we help each other? How do we help make this in the world? How do we help see this multiply out? Okay? And so over the number of weeks, we're going to keep going through this list. We're going to be bouncing around a little bit. But this is what God's called us to. So this is where, kids, I'm going to need your help, okay? So most of you guys weren't with us last week. So we're going to do a quick review. Quick review, and you guys have a graphic here to help you. So there's a guy walking into that upper left box. What do you think, who wants to, any of the kids that weren't here, what do you think that represents? That guy walking into, yeah, Abraham. What's that? God, yep. But what does the box represent when it says entry? What do you think that guy, God, Jesus, in this example, Ray was helping us understand what Jesus was doing. There's a box called entry. What do you guys think? So he's going places. And so Ray walked us through Mark 1. He's going into synagogues. He's going into houses. He's going into the wilderness. He's going all over the place, public and private places, to enter into relationship so that others might know him. Okay, so that's the first box. Now there's a second box that says gospel with lots of little dots. Yeah, you got an idea here, Jed? Absolutely. So Jesus starts teaching others. And what do you think the little dots represent in this analogy? People, you said? The people, yep. But just in this analogy, it's called the four fields. So what kind of graphic? Seeds. So it's like seed for the sower. So Jesus is like a farmer. He's going into private and public places. And like Jed said, he's sowing the gospel. He's scattering the seed. And like Ray mentioned, it's not one little seed here, one little seed there. It is a liberal, generous sowing of seeds to the crowds, to the individuals, to smaller groups, all these different ways. All right, so then if you keep rotating around, you're kind of going clockwise around this. Somebody else here, think, what do you think the third box where it says discipleship, what is that representing? Elizabeth? Yeah, so the seeds start to grow. They start to take place. So as people receive Christ, he lives inside us and he starts to grow us more into his image and into following him. And so it's like this little sheath. Most of us don't live in an agricultural day-to-day setting, but it's like this plant that starts to grow up around us. Is there somebody else here that had their hand up? that was going to say something. Yep. Yeah. So the gospel starts to bear fruit and grow up. So then the fourth box, church, is when what happens? What do you guys think? Yeah, Abraham. Yeah, so a church, were you going to say something like that, Evie? Yep. So a church is when those plants that are growing in the Lord start to say, I want to join and partner with other plants that are growing in the Lord. You're doing that in your life. I want to learn from you and join with you and partner together. And in the midst of all of that, leaders are being developed. So that was a quick, you know, 4-minute overview. That's what we talked about, kids, last week. And so that's going to be our springboard for the rest of this discussion. So as you guys hear that, how many of you guys had heard this idea before, the four fields of kingdom growth before? This is when we say four fields, or when we say no place left, a lot of the different people that have come and shared, this is kind of that framework that people are operating in. It's not a hard and fast rule, like, hey, don't bother me, I'm in the entry box, you know, I'm doing all this stuff. But it's a general framework that people are trying to work to see disciples made in really hard places around the world. What I'd like for this morning for us to consider is having a discussion, what does that look like for you and for me, here in Loveland? What are the implications for our lives if what Ray shared through Mark 1 is true, and it is, what does that mean for us in Loveland? What does that mean for our engagement, for our entry, for our disciple making? Okay? What I love about this, there's a tendency with humanity to make things always more complex and more complicated. It's really easy to make things complex because you just start bolting everything onto one another and it just becomes kind of like a Frankenstein type of thing. And it's really difficult to make things simple and to simplify and make things straightforward. So what I love about this is it makes things very straightforward. This is what Jesus did. Is there nuance to it? Absolutely. Is it mechanical or kind of just almost unfeeling, I just do this like machinery? No. There's personhood, there's following of the Spirit, there's love of Jesus wound up in all of this, but this is how Jesus modeled discipleship, and this is how the disciples after him walked in making disciples. Just a passage here in Acts 14. Paul and his cohort, the Jews came from Antioch in Iconium. Having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up, entered the city, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, so that's entry, gospeling, made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, into Iconium, into Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, so the gathering, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders, so there's that leadership. So you kind of see almost every aspect of those four fields is in this passage. After they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So this is what's going on, not just in Jesus' ministry, this is what's going on through the book of Acts. And what's so helpful about the book of Acts is it shows us the people who heard Jesus and said, we lived face to face, day in and day out with this man. Here's what we're going to go do based on his example. We know what they did. This is what the church age looks like. This is what we're called to participate in some way, shape, or form with. And so this is something that you guys have seen before. I think we've shared this in different contexts. So none of this is new. This cycle of sharing the gospel, audience contacted, right? Faith confirmed. It's this process of how does it look like even to make disciples in North America, in 8th century Mongolia, whatever circumstance you find yourself in, this is the paradigm. This is the biblical example, we could say. Are there other ways or other paradigms, examples? Could probably think of some. If we're going to say, what did Jesus do? He was probably really wise in how he did it, and he wanted to leave an example for us to follow in. That's what we're trying to do together. Here's another example. If you're curious, is this process, this four fields, biblical? I could find passage after passage of every one of those fields. Here's one, Colossians 1. To them, the saints, God chose to make known how great among the nations, so going, entry, are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Gospeling. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. So Paul's teaching, he's trying to bring people to maturity. He's trying to bring people into this place of seeing their place within the story of God, the family of God. And what's so encouraging is we can't ultimately, in the end, mess this up. It will happen. Revelation 5, Revelation 7, the image of the throne and every tongue, tribe, nation, and people will happen. It will happen. We can mess it up in the little things, for sure. If I just go off the rails and start saying there is no God and all these different things, it's going to mess some things up along the way. But ultimately, our opportunity is to say, do we want to partner with this? Do you want to see, God, do you have a role for me to play? Do I have a place to play? Some of the things that might have been rolling through your head as Ray was sharing. I can hear that and get really excited. I can also hear what he shared and also get a little overwhelmed. Like, wow, that's a lot to do. And it can feel like there's a lot of urgency to do a lot. One thing to remember is that the chapter of Mark 1 doesn't happen in one day. So as he's sharing about Jesus going into the synagogue and teaching and healing, those are happening over weeks and over months. It probably was almost a full year of what Mark 1 takes place in. And so there's a cadence to say, not right after this is done, what are you going to go do? But do you have an intentionality? Do you have a plan? Do you have a will and an ambition in what you're doing to live in that attitude, in that posture, to say, I want to be a disciple maker. I want to do this with Jesus. The book of Acts takes 30 years, but we can read it and turn the page and think, man, every hour, every day, they were just doing a million things. But that would just be our later historical not understanding the context. So if you're feeling this pressure of like, man, I've got to enter a field and preach in a synagogue and I need to go start healing people and this all needs to be done by the end of this week and all this stuff, just to understand there's a rhythm here that Jesus was walking in, that his disciples were walking in. And we're not able to do everything all at once. I remember when I was in college ministry, it was often, we had our Friday gatherings and we'd worship, we'd have a teaching, we'd get done around 9 o'clock, which is like the night's just starting, right? When you're in college and it's 9 o'clock. And so there would be people that are like, we're going to clean the building because we need to clean up after ourselves. It's like, okay, that's a good thing to do, is to clean and serve. Other people would be like, we're going to go hang out and try to invite people in the dorms to play games and get to build relationships and do fun stuff. Okay, that's a good thing to do as well. Other people are like, we're going to go to Old Town Fort Collins and serve hot chocolate and try to start conversations around Jesus and the gospel. It's like, well, that's a good thing to do too. And all these good things are happening. I remember talking to somebody, they're like, almost in this panic of like, I don't know what to do. Like, these people are going to vacuum and these people are going to go reach out and have relational time and these people are going to go share the gospel. It's like, what do I choose? I just said, just pick one. Just pick something. They're all good options. And you can't do all of it all at once. But my heart for you would be not that you're paralyzed into doing nothing. Start to pick something. Start to pick something to do. What would that mean? Does that mean intentional prayer? Gathering others together on a regular cadence to pray together for the harvest? Would that mean how you're raising your kids and how you're discipling them, helping them to see this great plan of what God is doing? There are lots of great options, and you're not going to be able to do it all at once. But can you pick something to start to intentionally put your shoulder into? The reality is that the spiritual formation, those fields of growth, take time. They take time. Like I mentioned, Mark 1 was probably almost over a year. The book of Acts, over 30 years. As you're discussing this morning, I'd love for you to consider what is sustainable, what is viable with where you're at. What kind of rhythms has God put around you? If you're a mom with little kids, there's just a different pressure of intensity that you experience than an empty nester, perhaps, that's got a lot more availability and a lot less immediate demands. What is sustainable? What is viable for where you're at? We need to recognize that spiritual formation takes God. It's not just a matter of us doing this. What is God up to? How can we join him? And it does take intention and plan. This would be my appeal to you with what Ray shared. That's not going to happen by accident. You aren't going to accidentally, in your spare time of 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there, accidentally make a disciple. It will take intentionality to say, I'm going to carve out time in my schedule. I'm going to intentionally enter into these things rather than the encroaching world and the demands of the love of pleasure or wealth or whatever it is that's encroaching in, and say, I want to continue to cultivate good soil for this word to bear fruit. Okay? So what I'd love for you to do is consider. We're going to have a discussion in small groups around you. And kids, you guys can find an appropriate sized group there. People your same age, maybe some parents want to help lead some of those things as well. But I'd love for us just to consider, what is making disciples amidst the everyday look like? So you hear Ray share and you go, man, those guys are going to the Middle East and they're just kind of going gangbusters and they're so intentional, they're so focused in all of that. What does this look like amongst raising kids? And they go, oh, you know, my kid's puking all night and now I'm not getting any sleep. And what? How does this look? What does this look like in real, normal, life happening things? As you're getting educated, as you're running businesses, as you're working, as you're caring for one another, as you're caring for family members, in all these rhythms, as we're engaged with lots of different trials, health challenges, trials maybe financially, how do we work through making disciples relationally when things are hard? What does that look like? Not just kind of an idealistic, if only my life looked this way, but in your life, what does this look like in the season you're in? What could you lean into? So in a small group, I'd love for you just to gather together. Could be groups of 2, 3, 4, 5. Probably not more than 5 or 6 because then it gets harder for everybody to share. But just give us a time to digest the 4 fields of kingdom growth. So first question would just be, was there anything inspiring or encouraging for you in that? Anything that you go, That really draws my heart. That draws my ambition. I love how Jesus did that. That was so encouraging. That was good for my soul. Is there anything that you would especially like to intentionally learn and grow more in that process of discipleship? Is there something where you go, I'd love to learn. I don't know necessarily how to help people do this or that. I don't even know how I'd enter a field in Loveland. What does that look like to enter a field of my neighborhood, of my workplace, or other things like that? And then the last two, I'd love for us just to chew on. Do you feel there are challenges or obstacles external to you? So those could be things in your season, in a trial you might be in, something you're in the greater world outside of you. I feel challenged personally being in a context without a college campus. I feel very comfortable with a college campus making disciples. Loveland doesn't have a college campus. I love just going where people are and starting conversations. It's a little bit more challenging. That's a challenge for me in understanding how to do this. But are there also challenges or obstacles internal in your heart? Are there places of fear, risk aversion? This might mean this or that for me. Are there any places inside of you that would say, I don't know how to do that. I don't like that. I don't want to do that. Challenges or obstacles internal to you. So just to get a chance a little bit to digest what Ray shared and give you guys some time to talk. So yeah, feel free to take 10 minutes here and then I'll wrap us up. Mostly what I want us to do is not just move on and say, wow, that was really cool, Ray, thanks so much, we'll see you later, drive home safely, but what are we going to do with this? Do we have any ideas or desire to put into practice what Ray was sharing with us? So feel free to get into some groups around you and discuss through those. Okay. We just have a little bit of time here, maybe just to share as a whole body. Would there be a handful or a small number of folks that just feel like there was something really inspiring or encouraging, something from what Ray shared last week that kind of maybe opened your eyes or just blessed you in general as he was sharing through that? Kind of that first question there. Anybody bold enough to share with the whole group? Yes, Rob. Thank you, Bueller.
Well, just in general, and what it came up in our group, the idea that this is almost like theoretical, in a sense that it's never really seen it actually happen that way. Mm-hmm. Like it seems like you get to one point and then it stops, and then you don't see that there doesn't seem to like end up with like have these friends for years who have been and they're going out and reaching people and things like that. So does that work? If it does work, how do you feel when it doesn't work?
So that feels like a challenge. Yeah. Yep.
For sure.
We're talking a lot over here about phases of life and how I think that our access to technology and media is a factor in it, where we see a lot of curated perspectives on what life could be like that aren't necessarily reality and aren't necessarily right for the phase of life. And so there's a kind of a guilt of like, I should be doing so many other things when this phase of life is a lot about showing kids love with time and turning off that illusion of technology, illusion of connectivity that comes with technology, right here, right now, diapers, bedtime, cleaning up the mess of food.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely not glamorous and all over, yep.
In a slightly different way, we talked about how just we appreciated the encouragement that there's benefits and goodness in each of the stages. And even just the idea that we all want to live in the sweet spot that feels really comfortable to us. But there's value in moving beyond the sweet spot, and to just the encouragement to just let go of that desire to stay where you're comfortable.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think if I were to try to somehow summarize or leave us with something, is that I hope you don't, again, hear like a jury summons with this. It's like, I've got so much I have to do, and how am I going to fit this into the rest of my life? Love for you to just think and pray about, God, this is the question I often ask. God, what are you up to? Where are you at work? And how can I join you? He's already at work. If you've got kids, you already know God's will is for you to love and to serve and to raise and to parent your kids. So he's already at work there. What might you be able to do with your kids, alongside your kids, to your kids, to help them grow in this? When you're at your workplace, when you're at your neighborhoods, your homes, your extended families, there's places God's already at work. And my heart is not to lay another burden of something you better start trying to do, but to think and consider where you're already at. Might God already have you in a neighborhood where somebody is open to say, let's just walk once a week together and get to know each other more? Guess what you're doing? You're entering a field. You're entering somebody's life. You're caring. And so not to hear, because what Ray's doing is amazing. And it's like, if we can get more people like that across the world, sowing and harvesting in those ways, more to that. But we also understand that the body, right, there's so many different effects and ways in which we build up the body. But you have a critical part to play. And so to not be in this place of like either I'm the all-star or I do nothing, but to say like the boy with the loaves and the fish, Lord, here's my little bit of amount I've got. Here's what I can offer. I can do refreshments for perspectives. Guess what? That counts. That counts for points in the spiritual kingdom. God, I can care for and come alongside this person. Guess what? That counts. Even a cup of cold water given will be remembered by your Father. So I just love for us to not be in this place of like discounting ourselves or what we're doing, thinking that they're too little or too small, but also not to keep us from thinking and dreaming ambitiously. You could do a lot. There's people that are having text conversations on WhatsApp with people in remote access countries sharing the gospel in their living room in northern Colorado. You could do that. You could be talking with people in one of the stands and sharing about Jesus from the comfort of your couch. There's lots of opportunities. So that technology, I feel like, is a double-edged sword in that it is very engrossing and it pulls us into a lot of vanity, but it also creates a lot of opportunity across the globe. So just as we're thinking and praying, all that we're doing, just to don't discount the little acts of faith. God is not so unjust as to overlook and to reward the service that you've shown him and what you're putting your hand to in faith. What I want to leave us with this morning is you guys remember Ray shared, he said, what would be the best thing to happen? And do you guys remember he was sharing that? And he said, the best thing that would happen would be that Jesus comes back. The best thing in the world that could happen today is that Jesus would come back. I go, amen, and yes. The second best thing of Jesus not coming back today, Jesus has told us, this is the best thing for you. Here's something that will simplify as well. Love God. Love others. This is the summation of all of what discipling is about and disciple making. Entering with love, and a lot of times I don't understand it. I hear you, Rob, and I'd agree. It doesn't move in its machinery perfectly. What I've learned to ask myself is, when I get stuck, I don't know what's going on. Lord, what would be most loving? What would be the most loving thing for me to do in this point in time? As best as I understand what your love means. And how could I do that? So if I could commission you, not with another task or feeling like you're not measuring up enough, but to release you with the power, you're commissioned to love. You're commissioned to love God, and you're commissioned to love others. And that's how we fulfill the Great Commission, is operating in the love of Christ as he commissions us. So let me pray and wrap us up. Lord Jesus, we do thank you that you entered into this world and you did what nobody else could. You lived the perfect life. You modeled it for us, and you spoke truth with authority. You healed. You've shown us the way, and I pray for each of us as we think about our lives and what it practically looks like to make disciples, that we wouldn't get discouraged and beat ourselves up for maybe not having it look a certain way, but we would consider the ambitions and the hopes and the desires you've put on our hearts, and we would follow through with those things. Help us to have intentionality. Help us, Lord, to know what to say no to and to use the resources and gifts and talents and treasures that you've given us, whatever it would be. Even if we just said our ministry as a local church is cups of cold water around the world, somehow you would reward that. You would honor that. Thank you that you've called us in so many different expressions as the body to do this. So we praise you. Help us, God, to walk in love as you did. In your name, amen.